Good morning. Welcome to worship, everyone here at Kemeny Parish Church. We're delighted to have you join us for this time of worship together. Welcome to all who are here in person, all who are watching live online via our streaming service or on our catch-up service during the week. And I'm going to take minister's prerogative and embarrass someone in particular right now. A very warm welcome to my very dear and oldest friend, Tim Trainer, who's up with us this weekend visiting. Wave hi, Tim. Yes, indeed. There we go. So Tim and I have been friends for, how many years? 26 years? So we were friends since we were 2 years old. Telling fibs in church, oh my goodness. A little bit longer than that. But if you want to know where the skeletons are hidden or any of the dirt, that's the guy to talk to. But Tim, we're delighted to have you with us. And welcome to everybody, all of our visitors. Carol, to your parents as well, delighted to have you with us joining for worship as well. And anybody else I didn't greet personally, we're so glad you're here. We have a few intimations to share at the start of our time. A reminder that coming up in the 17th of November, and we all know how time flies in, so it will be here before we know it. On the 17th of November, we have the Tier Fund Big Quiz. That's at 7 p.m. in the Church Center. And the cost is £5 per person. This is a national endeavor that the Tier Fund is undertaking. And all contributions can be gift-aided to the cause of Tier Fund. Ask to bring your own refreshments, to bring friends as well. And please speak with clerks or social committee to reserve a table or more information. So that's Saturday, 17th of November. Please do mark your diaries for that time together. And I understand we're still looking for AV volunteers. Is that right, Jim? Yep. We're looking for people to help with the computer, with the PA and video operations up there in the balcony during the services. If you're interested, full training will be provided, and please make your interest known to this lovely fellow here, Jim Buchan. He'll be happy to point in the right direction and to provide the training required to help out. I've also been asked today to give a very special plug for a very special ministry. I was going to wear this today, but upon seeing the size, I was afraid it would turn into a belly shirt, and nobody wants to see that in church. So, we all know what this is about. What is this about? The clue's on the shirt. Mainly music, which is a wonderful ministry that we have here in Kemeny. It meets every Friday in the Church Center from about 9:30 in the morning till about 11. I'm looking at Jane for confirmation here. And I've been coming along to Mainly Music every Friday. I'm helping with the tech, or trying not to make too big of a mess of it at least. But we are looking for more willing volunteers and helpers to come along to Mainly Music on Fridays to help support this wonderful ministry. We get a lot of young children and their parents, guardians and grannies and grandpas coming to this, and it's a wonderful atmosphere. It's great fun, and I will say from my perspective, it doesn't even feel like work. And one of the best benefits, you get a whole catalog of wonderful songs that will run through your head the entire next week. And I can say that after going to Mainly Music for a few weeks now, I really do like Toast for Breakfast. And those who go to Mainly Music know what that song is all about. The bread goes down. But if you are interested, please speak with me or with Jane Campbell off to the left here. Jane, would you wave hello? For more information about how you might lean in and help out. We're always looking for more willing volunteers, so please do consider coming along and joining the fun on Friday mornings. And I'll try this on at home in the privacy of my bedroom to make sure it fits first before I wear it and scandalize in public. So, we have one more intimation to share at the start of our time, and for information about that, I would ask Turin and Margaret to come forward now, if they're so willing, to share about something to do with Christmas. Margaret, Turin? Just Margaret, okay.
Turin's too shy.
Okay, Turin's too
shy. Good morning.
Why, Margaret?
It's that time of year again when Christmas cards, advent calendars, and all sorts of Christmas goodies are appearing in the shops. We look forward to this time of year. Joy, happiness, peace, and the children looking forward to opening their stockings on Christmas morning. But that's not so for many children and adults. For 25 years, Blythewood Care has brought a little happiness to people in need. Can you help? Can you help the shoebox appeal? It's quite easy. All you need is a shoebox. And then you cover it with some nice paper. Or if you're not very good at covering, which I am certainly not, I get glue everywhere, we can have them covered for you. All you need to do is bring your box and you'll get it covered and then you fill it. There's different categories for boys and girls, teenagers, elderly people, men and women. There's suggestions in the leaflet, which you can pick up today, which tells you the items that are really important to be in the shoebox, which is toothbrush, toothpaste, some warm hats and scarves and gloves, soap, small toys, sweets, but they have to be in date until after, I think it's May next year. Anyway, it's a great thing, and I just hope you will consider joining us. Kemeny Parish Church last year exceeded themselves by doing nearly 100 boxes, I think. So if you would just like to consider doing this, it would be very much appreciated. Thank you.
I know it's only September, but it's never too early to start thinking about such a worthy cause. Yes, one more thing.
The shoeboxes have to be in by the 29th of October.
29th of October, yep. So that's part of the reason for announcing it now is because of the time it takes between different parts of prep. So please do prayerfully consider if you can help fill a shoebox or shoeboxes to make someone else's Christmas a bit more meaningful. That's a wonderful blessing to offer. Are there any other announcements or intimations to share with our church family at this time? With those shared, instead of something what I usually say, I want to start a little bit differently today with a call to worship. We think we come to church for all sorts of reasons, but I want to stress something at the start is that we don't come here because it's the Church of Scotland or because it's Presbyterian. Ultimately, I'm going to risk something, none of those things ultimately matter. Only one thing ultimately matters, and that is Jesus Christ. So we gather here as God's people, wherever we have been, wherever we are going, to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth together. And we do so with singing our first song of praise now. Lord, I lift your name on high.
My life. For our Thanksgiving prayer today, I would like us to use part of Psalm 95. Let us pray. Lord, our Creator, we bring to you, first of all, the offerings of our money, of our time, of our minds, our hearts, our hands, and our feet. May all we have, all we give, and all we do be for your glory. Come, let us sing for joy to the Lord. Let us shout aloud to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before him with thanksgiving and extol him with music and song. For the Lord is the great God, the great King above all gods. In his hands are the depths of the earth, and the mountain peaks belong to him. The sea is his, for he made it, and his hands formed the dry land. Come, let us bow down in worship. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture, the flock under his care. Let us continue now together with the prayer that Jesus taught us, his flock. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Rita. We continue now to worship our God through the gift of music with singing our next hymn, Break Not the Circle of Enabling Love. I'm going to invite all children who would like to come forward, and parents and guardians are also welcome to come forward as well to sit on the steps for the children's time. Come on down. That's so nice to see what we got. Whoa. Have a seat, buddy. Yes, indeed. Wait, right on top. Let's have to scooch over and make some more room. Got some more coming down. Hi, Samuel. Hi, Daniel. Hi, Becca. Take your time. Come on down. Hi, Paul as well. Good to see you. Come on down. Have a seat. Yes, indeed. How are you all doing today? You all right? You fine? Yes? Good. Glad. I hope you have a good week so far and off to a good start this week as well. So I have a question to start. Raise your hand if you have brothers or sisters or really, really, really good friends. Do you have anybody, good friends, people you know really well at school? Every hand should go up. Absolutely. Now I have a next question for you. Hands down. With your brothers or sisters or with your friends at school, have you ever had an argument or a fight with one of your brothers or sisters or one of your friends at school? Let's be honest here. Yes, indeed. I see. When you were five. Oh, we clearly remember that. Yes, indeed. Well, I, you know what, boys and girls, I think I have to raise my hand as well. I have an older brother named Andrew. He lives back in America, and he's my older brother. How many of you have an older sibling? How many of you are the oldest? Samuel, you're the oldest. I know that. Yes. Lewis, I know you're the oldest. Absolutely. Rona, you're the oldest. Yes. So, you know, siblings are really special, but when I was growing up with my brother, Andrew, guess what we did all the time? What do you think we did all the time? We fought all the time. I feel so sorry for my parents now because we were growing up, I think every day they had to say, stop fighting, because we just kept going and going. We were so competitive with one another. You know what that means to be competitive? You keep trying to be better than the other one, but we got in so many arguments growing up, and I tell people that I, as a younger brother, I got bruises up and down my arm from fighting with him, and in response, he got the groundings and the punishments. So that was our division of labor between the two. So, but you know what? Siblings and brothers and sisters and close friends are interesting. And you know, the Bible tells us all about siblings, brothers and sisters. There's one particular story I want to share with you today that later on Kylie's going to be talking about with your mommies and your daddies and your guardians and your grandparents. This is a story of two brothers named Cain and Abel. Have you ever heard of brothers named Cain and Abel before? You ever heard about this story before? Well, this will be a new one. So, we have pictures here. So, we know about Adam and Eve, right, from the book of Genesis, the very first two human beings in the book of Genesis. Well, these are about their children. It says here that Adam and Eve had two sons. We'll see how well I can read upside down. Adam and Eve had two sons. And it says here that Cain was a farmer. What does a farmer do? Do you know what a farmer does? What kind of things does a farmer grow, do you think? Samuel. Plants, food, absolutely. There's all kinds of it. Rona, what do you think?
Barley.
Barley. Well, that's a very specific answer. Yes, indeed. Very specific. That's very good. So farmers grow all kinds of things. They can grow plants. They can raise animals. So Cain was a farmer. And it says, and Abel was a shepherd. What does a shepherd do? Rona, what do you think?
Look after animals.
What a great. Do you agree? Is that what a shepherd does? What do you think, Samuel? We'll catch your sheep. Yep, Victoria. What do you think? You got to say that too. Well, you're all in agreement. That's great. So, it says here, Abel was a shepherd, and they each decided to give God a gift. So, Cain, what did Cain do? Cain was a farmer. Cain gave God, let's see here, some of his crops. He gives God some of his crops as an offering to be so thankful to God, right? But Abel, the shepherd, gave his very best lamb to God, right? Something he really wanted to keep, but he decided to give it to God instead. It says, although Cain and Abel both gave gifts to God, Abel, the shepherd, gave God his very, very best thing. And so God was so happy with Abel's gift, but he wasn't as happy with Cain's gift because Cain only gave God some of his crops, but not the best part of his crops. So he wasn't happy with Cain, and that made Cain so angry that Abel gave God a better gift. He was so jealous of his brother. And later on it says, the two brothers, Cain and Abel, were together in a field. And Cain was so angry that Abel gave God a better gift that he killed his brother. Isn't that awful? He killed his brother, and he wasn't sorry either. But God knew what had happened. And so he asked Cain, "Where's your brother?" That's what God said. And then Cain told a lie to God. He said, "I don't know." And Cain was punished by God for this great, awful thing he did. And for the rest of his life, Cain was homeless. He had to wander. He never had a true home. He never got to stay in one place for very long. And so, but Cain and Abel, Cain was so angry with his brother, right? Is it good to be angry, do you think? The answer is no. That's right. To be that angry, that's a really terrible way to feel. And so when it comes to our brothers and sisters and our close friends, even if we fight with them, boys and girls, it's so important to always tell our friends and our brothers and sisters how much we love them. And if they hurt our feelings, to say that we forgive them so that we can keep enjoying our lives together. That's what God wants for us. And so the lesson that we take today from Cain and Abel is that don't get so angry. Don't get so angry that you do something that you will feel sorry for later. If you ever have a fight or a disagreement or problems with your brothers or sisters, tell them you're sorry. Tell them that you love them. Tell your friends that at school as well. That's what God wants. That's how we become more and more like Jesus. So let's pray together. And let's try something different today. You want to try a repeating prayer. You repeat what I say. Let's try that. Let's pray. Close your eyes. Repeat after me. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Help us to be nice to our brothers and sisters, to our friends, to our mummies and daddies, and all of our families. In Jesus' name, amen. Very good. And boys and girls, for those of you who are a little bit older, in a few moments you'll get to go through that way to our explorers time, through that door. And for the young kids, they can go back through the back partitions, if they so wish, for our creche. But that'll happen in a few moments time, but you're all very welcome to take part in those special kids activities we have for you in church. But for now, go back to your mummies and daddies. Delighted to report at this stage in life that I'm very close friends with my brother. So the bruises have healed. We get along very well now. We continue now in worship with our next song of praise, Purify My Heart.
Thank you.
Just a brief change to spare confusion. We have modified the New Testament text. We'll still be reading from Genesis 4 in a moment, but instead of 1 John, we'll be looking at Hebrews 11, 1 through 4, and 12, 22 through 24. Joyce.
So to start with, page 6, Genesis chapter 4, reading from verse 1 to 16. Adam lay with his wife Eve, and she became pregnant and gave birth to Cain. She said, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Later, she gave birth to his brother Abel. Now Abel kept flocks, and Cain worked the soil. In the course of time, Cain brought some of the fruits of the soil as an offering to the Lord. But Abel brought fat portions from some of the firstborn of his flock. The Lord looked with favor on Abel and his offering, but on Cain and his offering he did not look with favor. So Cain was very angry, and his face was downcast. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why is your face downcast? If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." Now Cain said to his brother Abel, "Let's go out to the field." And while they were in the field, Cain attacked his brother Abel and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, "Where is your brother Abel?" "I don't know," he replied. "Am I my brother's keeper?" The Lord said, "What have you done? Listen, your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. Now you are under a curse and driven from the ground, which opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you work the ground, it will no longer yield its crops for you. You will be a restless wanderer on the earth." Cain said to the Lord, "My punishment is more than I can bear. Today you are driving me from the land, and I will be hidden from your presence. I will be a restless wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." But the Lord said to him, "Not so. If anyone kills Cain, he will suffer vengeance seven times over." Then the Lord put a mark on Cain so that no one who found him would kill him. So Cain went out from the Lord's presence and lived in the land of Nod, east of Eden. So we now go to Hebrews chapter 11, which is on page 1209. And we're reading from verse 1 to 4. By faith. Now faith is being sure of what we hope for and certain of what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. By faith we understand that the universe was formed at God's command, so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel offered God a better sacrifice than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offerings. And by faith, he still speaks, even though he is dead. And if you turn the page, and we're on chapter 12, verses 22 to 24. But you have come to Mount Zion, to the heavenly Jerusalem, the city of the living God. You have come to thousands upon thousands of angels in joyful assembly, to the church of the firstborn, whose names are written in heaven. You have come to God, the judge of all men, to the spiritual righteous men made perfect, to Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and to the sprinkled blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel. Amen, and thanks be to God for the reading of his word.
Thank you, Joyce. We continue now in worship together with singing our next hymn, Brother, Sister, Let Me Serve You.
Let us bow our heads in prayer before we begin this teaching time. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to get to gather together and to learn more about you. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing to you. Amen. We enter into today's story with a sense of foreboding, fear, curiosity. It's the first story we read after the fall, after Adam and Eve have been banished from the garden as a result of the decisions that they've made. And maybe they're wondering, what does this new world look like? How do we interact with God? How do we interact with this world that looks so different from what we're used to? But God hasn't left them on their own. In fact, this story today is about God's continued relationship with his people, despite the ways we've messed up. Eve's first words recorded post-fall are words of wonder and awe and thanksgiving. Eve exclaims, "With the help of the Lord, I have brought forth a man." Now, before this, humanity was created by God. Imagine Eve's wonder and surprise when she suddenly has been gifted a child, something that's never happened before. this surely must have come from God. From the very beginning, we see that even though God's people were sinful, he still blesses them with good gifts. And these children, these good gifts, are the subject of this morning. They're the little kids we get to watch grow up as they go from infants to toddlers who toddle around, to young people who are then given their holy vocations to shepherd flocks and to grow good food to eat. And we read this first event in Cain and Abel's lives, their offering to God. And the sacrificial system, like Josh mentioned with the children, is meant to be a thank you. Thank you for these gifts that you've given us, for these animals and these plants. It's a way to be in relationship with God by thanking him. And usually thank yous are supposed to be heartfelt and sincere, right? Here's where we first see a difference between these two brothers. Abel brings the fattest, healthiest, most beautiful gift that he has. I imagine it's a super white, really cute little lamb. It's the very first of his flock. And I imagine when it's cooked, it smells nice and it tastes nice. It's tantalizingly delicious. And then we're told what Cain brings. He brings some of his produce. Not even the best, not even the first, but just some. I imagine it's apples that have already fallen off the tree. Maybe they have wormholes in it. Maybe they're plums that are already bruised or overripe berries. In essence, they're Cain's leftovers. They're what Cain can't do anything with. And so when we see the difference between these two gifts, one that's so tantalizingly delicious and one that hardly anybody would want, it's no surprise that God gets upset. He sees the faith of Abel bringing these good gifts, and he's pleased, and he sees the leftovers Cain brings, and he's understandably upset. But here's the real difference. Abel brought his offering to please God, while Cain brought his offering to discharge a duty, to check a box off a list. In essence, he's saying, "Yep, made my offering, check, it's done." And in Hebrews 11, what we've just read, we get an example of this. It says, "By faith, Abel offered a better offering than sacrifice did, than Abel did, Cain did. By faith, he was commended as a righteous man when God spoke well of his offering. God looks with favor on our heartfelt gifts of faith." So it's no wonder that God is upset with Cain's offering, Cain's lack of respect and honor. But here's the further wonder. Instead of Cain responding with embarrassment over his poor sacrifice, Cain is upset that God didn't like it. And I think of it kind of like this. As a kid, when my mom would ask me to clean my room, I would very quickly shove it all under my bed. And I would say, "Great, check, done. Room is clean. She's never going to find out about it. She can't even see it." But my mom could always tell. She could always tell when my room was not cleaned properly. Looking back, it was probably because it took all of 2 minutes to clean my room. But as a kid, I thought I was really smart by shoving it all under the bed. And here's the similarity. God can always tell when we don't bring our best. And so God confronts Cain and asks, "Why are you so angry?" And God gently explains what was wrong with the offering. "Don't you know that if you do what is right, you'll be accepted? And if you do what is wrong, you'll be captured by sin." This is God's gentle reminder a word of caution, loving advice to Cain. Even though Cain has already displeased God, God invites Cain to do what is right, to apologize and turn toward him. God gives Cain the option of living in the way of grace or living in the way of sin. But almost immediately after God's words of caution, Cain decides to go out and kill his brother. This is the first murder, the first time one of God's people has decided that somebody else's life isn't as important. And God's response is yet another extension of grace. God gives Cain the opportunity to fess up, and he says, "Where is your brother Abel?" And you see, God already knows what happened to Abel. Much the same as when Adam and Eve sinned and God asks, "Where are you?" He already knew where Adam and Eve were. Now, have any of you guys played hide-and-go-seek with a small child? I'm assuming a lot of you have either had kids or have grandkids or have gotten to babysit. This is a really popular game with kids. And as you count, you can hear the little feet run towards the window, and you can hear as they pull back the curtain and step behind it to hide. And when you open your eyes, you can already see the little feet sticking out. You know exactly where they are, but you go along with the game. You say, "Okay, where are you? Are you under the table? No. Are you behind the couch? No." And usually at this point, the little child jumps out and he says, "Here I am." They love to tell you where they're hiding. God doesn't ask the question where without already knowing the answer. God asks, "Where are you?" because he wants you to say, "I'm right here." But Cain responds to this question with lies and indifference. "I don't know where Abel is. Am I my brother's keeper?" You can hear the sass in the answer. He shuns God's desire to be close to him. Cain pushes God away. He continues to hide despite already being found. So far, Cain has responded to every extension of God's grace with indifference, anger, jealousy, deception, falsehood, and self-seeking measures. He's burrowed farther and farther into his hiding place. Cain's voice shouts, "No, go away." But Abel's spilled blood cries from the ground, "Come to me, O God." Abel's voice cries out to God, and God hears the sound of Abel's spilled blood. God hears his cry for justice. And Abel's voice has not quieted since. Hebrews 11 says, "By faith, Abel still speaks, even though he is dead." Abel's cry for justice and his cry is answered. Abel's blood is answered by another's blood. Hebrews 12. Jesus, the mediator of a new covenant, and his sprinkled blood speak a better word than the blood of Abel. Abel's blood cries out for justice. Jesus's blood proclaims forgiveness. Jesus proclaims forgiveness for all the ways Cain tries to hide. Jesus proclaims forgiveness for all the ways we try to hide. How often do we follow patterns of self-seeking, blame games, deceptions, hiding? We hide our dirty laundry by shoving it away. We hide ourselves behind thin curtains of self-sufficiency. As much as I've told you stories about children, this passage is about us. This passage is about our adult sins, our adult lies, our own cover-ups, our own jealousies, and our own hatred. This passage should bring us face to face with our own tragic denials and rejections of God as our Lord and Savior. We like to think of Cain murdering his brother as the climax to this story, the big event of what has happened. But I'd like to think there's another big event, God's first conversation with Cain. When God asks Cain why he is angry, God gives Cain the opportunity to step into grace and says, "If you do what is right, will you not be accepted? But if you do not do what is right, sin is crouching at your door. It desires to have you, but you must master it." What God is saying is you've got two options. Are you going to let sin master you, or are you going to master sin with the help of Jesus? One of my favorite books is called East of Eden by John Steinbeck. It's a dramatic retelling of this Cain and Abel story. And in it, he touches on this key phrase, "You must master sin," and talks about how we can translate it. He says, "Don't you see? The American Standard Translation orders men to triumph over sin. The King James Translation makes a promise in 'thou shalt,' meaning that men will surely triumph over sin. But the Hebrew word, the word timshel, 'thou mayest,' that gives a choice. It might be the most important word in all the world. That says the way is open. For if thou mayest, it is also true that thou mayest not." There is a way of grace and a way of sin. We can choose between the two. Thou mayest overcome sin by accepting grace. We have the choice to wallow in our patterns of sin, to be captive to their dark powers, or we can choose to accept grace, to hear Jesus' words, "Forgiven by my blood." It's time for us to come out of hiding and to come into grace. God already knows our hiding place. We've already been found. Now, I've been listening to this next song all week, and I wanted to share it with you. It's been God's proclamation of found over my life, and I think it can be his proclamation of found over yours, too. We can cue the video and play it now. Thank you.
You're safe here with me. There's no need to cover what I already see. You've got your reasons, but I hold your peace. You've been on lockdown and I hold the key. 'Cause I loved you before you knew it was love, and I saw it all. Still I chose the cross, and you were the one that I was thinking of when I rose from the grave. Now rid of the shackles, my victory's yours. I tore the veil for you to come close. There's no reason to stop out of distance anymore. You're not far from home, and I'll be your lighthouse when you're lost at sea. And I will illuminate everything. No need to be frightened by intimacy. Just through
Already been found. And so, which is Be Thou My Vision.
Thank you.
let us bow our heads in prayer.
Lord, there is continued fighting abroad, continued poverty and starvation, continued rivalry and hatred that leads to all kinds of violence and oppression. We do not know what to do besides pray. Pray that fighting ceases, hunger is satiated, and hatred is turned into love. We sometimes say, if only this world looked like what God intended. Lord, you have the power to turn this world into more of what you intended, a peaceful world built on love. We've watched as the Brexit plan unfolds, as plans are rejected, as more and more people call for referendums or reworked plans or any number of proposed solutions. As we all fall into more and more uncertainty over what is happening, remind us that you have control over the world. Remind us that whatever happens, you have already overcome the world. We think of those who have lost loved ones recently. Lord, the pain and sorrow are too much to bear sometimes. Please come and hold them, comfort them, fill them with your presence and peace. We thank you for the time we had with them and all the memories we shared. We all come to this morning with our own prayers, our own worries and fears, our own joys and dreams. Lord, we lift up these fears and dreams to you in the silence of our hearts and pray that your will be done. We thank you that you hear our prayers and answer them by your will. We thank you that the sun is shining and the colors are changing on the trees. We thank you for friendship and relationship and all the blessings you have given us. Lord, we thank you. Amen.
As we heard this morning, one of the most important parts of this story of Cain and Abel is this conversation that God has with Cain. The word that you may be set free. And so we sing our closing hymn of praise in that spirit. We sing a love, of God's love, that sets all people free.
Thankful, thy best.
And so we stand today as people that have already been found, people that have been invited into grace. May we step into that today and every day. Go in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit.